what you got going on. Open your Bibles up, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 13. One verse from Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to go to a couple other verses this morning. There was Jesus. There was Jesus. We have some celebrities in this room this morning. David Thomas, raise your hand back, Brother David. It's his birthday this morning, all right, Brother David. And then we have a young couple, been married for, 25 years, I think. Josh and Shay, where you at? Josh and Shay, right there, all right. It's their anniversary today, so praise the Lord. Give them all a hand this morning. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13 this morning. One verse we're going to start with. As they were singing that song, I was reminded of this verse, and I wanted to share some things with you about this verse. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That gives me hope. That tells me that He's never changed. That gives me hope telling me He never will change. And that gives me hope knowing that He's the one in control today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now you say, well, what's so important about that? Because in the days that you think that there's no hope, in the days that you wonder and try to figure out what's going on, you have a reliable Savior to count upon. You have someone who will never back away. You have someone who will never go half-hearted in what He does. He's reliable today, just like He was when He walked with the disciples. He's reliable today, just like He was when He created the universe. He's reliable today, just like He will be in His soon coming. See, Jesus Christ is God Himself. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And we need to understand and realize, even though He was God in the flesh, He still had human tendencies. He still had human attributes about Him. He still hungered and He thirsted and he got angry at times. Jesus, but He was still 100% God. But here's the caveat that goes along with this. Jesus Christ never sinned. He was the perfect Lamb of God. See, the issue was, and we talked about it this morning a little bit, was the fact that God had to deal with sin. Human beings' biggest problem is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or the independents. Human beings' greatest problem is not dealing with China and Russia and Iraq and Iran and all that. That's not human beings' greatest problem. Human beings' greatest problem is not COVID. It's not the swine flu. It's not all those things. Human beings' biggest problem is sin and what to do with sin. See, sin separates. Sin destroys. Sin kills. Sin destroys marriages. Sin destroys families. Sin destroys human beings. Sin destroys churches. Sin destroys preachers. Sin destroys everybody. And so what do we do with that sin? And what is sin? Sin is doing anything contrary to what God's Word teaches. That's what sin is, and there's no higher sin and lower sin. Sin is equal. Because all sin causes us to be separated from God. For the wages of sin is death. That means separation from God. So when you were born, even from the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, the Bible teaches clearly that you are a sinner. David says, I was conceived in sin. So the very moment you're conceived, you're considered a sinner. And you've got to do something with that sin. Either you face God on your own and deal with your sin with God, or somebody becomes your advocate. Somebody becomes your mediator. Somebody comes your go-between you and God. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you want to face God, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe, which we talked about last week? Do you want to face Him on your own? Do you want to stand in His presence and give an account for everything you've done or didn't do? How many of you want to stand in God's presence on your own? Why not? He's a holy and just and righteous God. But guess what? He's also a God of wrath. He has to deal with sin. So Jesus Christ becomes our advocate. He becomes our mediator. He becomes the one that's in between God and us. He's the one God put all the judgment of the world on him at that very moment. He became our propitiation, our substitute. So now, when we go to heaven and we stand before God, guess what? We don't stand in our sin. We stand covered in the blood. So all God is seeing right now when he's looking down at you and I, all he sees is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's enough to make you want to smile behind the mask that you're wearing. Jesus Christ. But let's look at a few things that talks about Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter number 1. Let's look at a couple of attributes about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. It's the fourth book of the New Testament. John chapter 1. Let's read a little about Jesus Christ here. John chapter 1, verse number 1, it says this: in the beginning was the Word, capitalized, so that tells you it's deity, and the Word, capitalized, was with God, and the Word was God. So you see that word three times. That word is talking about deity. Verse number 2, the same who, the Word, was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him, the Word, Jesus Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now go down to verse number 8. He was not the light, speaking of John the Baptist. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. And here's a description of that. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The creator of the universe, the Word, God in the flesh, he came to human beings. He appeared. He was born from a virgin. And that day that he appeared, the shepherds came and adored him, and the angels sang his praises. And when the shepherds adored him, they went out and told everybody about the Messiah, the promised one who had come. He had come to the Jewish people. He had come to them specifically and saying, "Follow me, I am your Messiah." But what did the Jewish people do? They rejected him. He came into his own, but his own received him not. Regardless of what you really believe and understand, but Jesus was not an American. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Jesus wasn't Lily White. He wasn't a Democrat. He wasn't a Republican. Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God. And he came to save the entire world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he has said this. He said, "Listen, my children, I love you. I created you. I have come to take your sins away." See, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders, didn't understand that. They had their rules and regulations and the things that you had to do and everything else to follow. And when Jesus came on the scene, it freaked them out. It made them angry. And they tried to find every way they could to kill him and destroy him. But every time they tried to kill him, and you see in the Bibles several times, they tried to throw him off the cliff. What did he do? He slipped right out of there. He got away because it was not his time. Jesus Christ came for one reason and one reason only: to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad that Jesus came. Now, there's other religions that teach that Jesus did come. But they believed that he was a good prophet. They believed that he was a good teacher. They even teach that he was the son of a physical relationship between God and Mary. And they had physical relations, and Jesus and Satan were brothers. And Satan went wrong and Jesus went right. And so therefore we have Jesus now as we follow him doing right. And that boggles my mind. But Hebrews teaches us Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me show you another verse that talks about Jesus. Go to John chapter 8 with me. John chapter 8. You're there in the same book right there. John chapter 8, verse number 58. Well, let's go back up to verse number 52. We'll start in 52. Now, Jesus is having one of his discussions with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. I almost came up with a new word there. Verse number 52. Then the Jews said unto him, "Now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, 'If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death.' Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets which are dead, whom you make us yourself?" He says, listen, are you telling us, Jesus, that you're better than all those people? Verse number 20, 54, Jesus says, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying." Now, hold on just a second. How is it possible for Jesus to know who God was? How is it possible for Jesus to claim that God is his Father and he knows who God is? How is that possible? Because he was God. See, what boggles our mind is trying to relate that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're three separate entities, but they're one. And that boggles our mind. It helps us. It confuses us. But here's the way I explained it to somebody that asked me about the Trinity. I said, listen, you're a son, aren't you? Well, yes. You're a father, aren't you? Yes. But you're also a brother, aren't you? Yes. Or are those three separate people? No. But they're three separate issues or three separate jobs. And you're one person. Now, that's a simplistic explanation of what the Trinity is. But you've got God the Father, the Creator. You got God the Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And you got God the Holy Spirit, who comes to live inside of us when we ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Okay? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't understand that. They had it set in their mind a certain priority. Now, verse number 56, he says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. And the Jews said unto him, 'You are not even 50 years old, and how have you seen Abraham?' Here's what Jesus answered him, 'Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.'" Now, how is that possible? How is it possible for Jesus Christ to exist before Abraham existed? How is it possible that Jesus Christ is claiming to exist before the birth of Abraham? How is it possible? You can tell me, church. How is it possible? How could Jesus claim that? He is God. He is God. He is God in the flesh. He says, "I am." Let me ask you a question. Who is God? We talked about it last week. But who is God? Jesus Christ in the flesh. He is the same yesterday, today, and for how long? Forever. Jesus Christ. Now, it's kind of confusing. You're going to think, wait a minute. How in the world could he exist before, and how in the world can he exist now? Because he's God. Just get your mind wrapped around the fact that Jesus Christ is indeed God. He's the only one that could take our sins away. He's the only one that could possibly pay for all the wretched, nasty, filthy things of human beings. He's the only one that could possibly be the perfect sacrifice for us. Now look what else he talks about himself here. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter number 1. Another claim about Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter number 1. Verse number 8, we'll start there. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 8. He says, but unto the Son, he, speaking of God, says, thy throne, O God, is ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is in the scepter of thy kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, speaking of Jesus, even thy God hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Now, wait a minute. He's saying, you have not only been the one to satisfy the righteousness, but you laid the foundations of the world. Now, Bible scholars in here, help me out. Who created the universe? We're in church. You can say it out loud. Who created the universe? God did. He laid the foundations of the world. God did. But it also says that he became our righteousness. And how is it possible for God to become our righteousness unless he became in the flesh? So who is it that came in the flesh? Jesus. You were in church. You can say it. Who is it? Jesus. Okay, now, I'm not the smartest man in the world. My family can say amen. If God, the creator of the universe, and Jesus Christ, our righteousness, and our righteousness is being claimed to be the foundation of the world, what does that make Jesus? Come on now. Who does it make Jesus Christ? God! I'm throwing you softballs. Come on, hit them. Okay, now hold on. Hold on a minute. Look at this. Verse number 11. They shall perish. Talk about the heavens. They shall perish, but you remain. And they shall wax old. The heavens shall wax old and be eliminated, as does a garment. Verse number 12. And a vesture, in other words, clothing, shall fold them up, and they shall be changed. But he says this, verse number 12. But you are the same, and the years shall not fail. He says, clothing will disappear. He says, the earth, the heavens are going to be remade. Everything's going to be redone. He says, but you will remain the same. Here's the key. I want you to understand this, brothers and sisters. I have changed over the years. How many of you have changed over the years? Physically. All right, I graduated from high school weighing 125 pounds. How many of you can recognize I don't weigh 125 pounds anymore? But have I ceased to be who I am? My essence, yes, because I got saved. I have changed. My ways of thinking have changed. The way I live has changed. My essence of who I really am has changed because God changed me. But my question is this. Have you done that changing? Yes. You're not the same today that you were yesterday. And guess what? Tomorrow, you're not going to be the same. You're human beings. So there's got to be something that we can rely upon that doesn't change. There's got to be some foundation. There's got to be something that we can cling to. There's got to be some truth that we can hold on to that never changes. That foundation is Jesus Christ. See, religions change. If you look back on the history of religions, from when they were originally founded to what they've perverted into now, you see them changing all the time. They change on man's whims. You look at the founding of Jehovah's Witness, and you look at the founding of Mormonism, and you look at the founding of Buddhism, and you look at the founding of Islam. You look at all the founding of the major religions of the world, and you see them evolving over time. The only truth that has never changed is Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about Christianity. See, I don't believe in a religion. I have a relationship. Religions change, but my relationship with God never changes. See, brothers and sisters, if you're counting on religion to get you through, it ain't going to do it. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees could not get their heads wrapped around that. They were listed of do's and don'ts and this and that. And Jesus blew them away and said, listen, I have come to deliver you from those things. Trust me. Let me show you one other thing about Jesus. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 4. John, the apostle, the same one that wrote the book of John, the same one that wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he was on the island of Patmos. He had been abandoned there. He had been casted onto the island of Patmos for preaching Jesus Christ. And he was abandoned there, and he saw these visions that God gave to him. Verse number 4, he's writing these words down. He says, John identifies himself. He says, and I'm writing this to the seven churches were in Asia. And here's what the message is from God to the people. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. All right, so stop right there. He says this message of grace and peace is from him. And who is him? We're in church, you can say his name. God. And what is a description of God? Which is, which was, and which is what? To come. Hebrews said the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if the message is from God, who's claiming to be which is, which was, and is to come, Jesus Christ is claimed to be yesterday, today, and forever. Who is he speaking about here in verse 4? Jesus Christ. Okay, now hold on a minute. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, verse number 5, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and who's here is he writing to? Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He walked this earth for 33 years. And when he died on the cross, he was buried and he rose again. And his sole purpose of coming, God in the flesh, his sole purpose of coming was to wash us from our sins. Bottom line. That's the gospel. That's why we gather here this morning. That's the reason. So Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So let me ask you a question. What will wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will wash away the blood? I've never heard that song before. Nothing. Nothing. So you are just as saved today as you were yesterday. And you'll be just as saved tomorrow as you are today if you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. He's never failed in the past. He won't fail today. So why in the world do you think he's going to fail tomorrow? I want you to understand, tomorrow holds things that we have no clue about. Brother Danny said that I'm going to be gone soon. I don't know what he's eating Wheaties or what he's doing. But if I'm gone tomorrow, you can count on this. I'm in heaven in spite of being a preacher. I'm in heaven because I'm covered in the blood. I can count on that because of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brothers and sisters, I don't have a lot to count on in this world. I can count on the love of my wife, my beautiful wife. I'm hoping I can count on the love of my children. I can count on the love of friends. But above all that, I have the blood of Christ that I can count on. Now look at me for a moment. We're done. Do you have the blood of Christ to count on this morning? Who would say, Brother Brian, you didn't ask me if I've joined the church. You didn't ask me if I was... I didn't ask you that. That's not what I'm talking about. Have you confessed your sins to God and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved from what? Sin! Remember, sin causes us to be separated from God. And the only way that sin can be washed away is by what? The blood of who? Jesus Christ. So if you have been saved from sin by receiving Jesus Christ your Savior, guess what? You have the blood. Never to be lost again. It's just as effective yesterday as it is today, and it'll be just as effective tomorrow as it is today. Praise be to Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want you to understand. If you're washed, you're washed forever. But if you're not washed, today's the day to be washed. If you're sitting there this morning saying, Brother Brian, I'm not sure I'm washed. I've done some horrible, nasty things, Brother Brian. I mean, there's some things in my past that if anybody knew about them, they would reject me. Well, maybe humans might reject you, but God's not rejecting you. He's speaking to our hearts this morning saying, my child, be washed in the blood today. Receive me. Now, I remember on the playground being rejected, being picked last to be on the kickball team. In heaven, there is no rejection because we're washed in the blood of Christ. Are you washed? Y'all washed in the blood of Christ over here? How about y'all in the middle section? Y'all washed? How about y'all up there? Balcony, y'all have no hope. Now I'm just teasing. Y'all washed in the blood up there? What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes and just spend a few moments of reflection for a moment. I want you to thank God for the blood of Christ. I want you to thank God that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He'll never abandon you. Just tell Him thank you. You might have had a rough week this week. You might have had a wild month this past month. And you feel rejected and you feel down. May I invite you just to talk to Jesus and say, God, help me. He'll never fail you, never forsake you. God doesn't want you to be perfect. He wants you to trust the only one that was perfect, and that's Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts this morning. God, I don't know why you impressed upon me to teach this verse. And I know, God, that I didn't cover it as much as needed to be covered this time period. But I thank you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I thank you that we have hope through Jesus Christ. Thank you that He came on this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. To save us from our sins. To wash us in His blood. And Father, this morning, I don't know everybody's soul condition in here. Only you do. And there might be a precious soul in this room that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. They're not 100% sure. They've got a lot of questions on their mind. And that's perfectly fine. But I'm asking you, God, right now, if there's a seeker of salvation in here, if there's someone wondering how to be saved, that you would make it very clean and very clear to them right now. That, Lord, they would call upon you and ask you to forgive them of their sins. And they would ask you to be their Savior. And by simply saying, Jesus, please save my soul and wash me in your blood. And Lord, for those of us who have done that in the past, may we tell you thank you for saving our souls. I'm glad that nothing can wash away that blood. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. But it's only by your grace we have it. Thank you, God. We love you and we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, if you're sitting here this morning, whether you're a long-time attender or the very first time you're here, it doesn't matter. If you want to know more about how to be washed in the blood, you're confused about something, simply ask me. Simply ask somebody, hey, I want to understand this. We're washed, not because we've earned it, but because God loved us so much. Amen. Amen. Now, in October, Dr. Shoemaker will be here, 18th, 19th, and 20th. The 18th, he'll be speaking in the AM service. That night on the 18th, we're going to have a banquet at Camp Living Water, and everybody is invited to be part of that. There's a sign-up list back there in the back. I'll have the price per plate. We're just going to charge enough just to pay for the food. But there's a price list. I'll have that price list for you soon. But there's a sign-up sheet back there in the back. I need you to give me the family name, the number of people, and if you'll need child care, because child care will be provided for that night. Okay? Sign up on the list if you can come to that banquet that Sunday evening, the 18th. The 19th and the 20th will be at Camp Living Water also. But we're asking for couples to come to be part of that. He's going to be primarily ministering to married couples or those getting ready to get married and those kinds of things, okay? So if you want to be part of that, I'll have a sign-up list for that. But Sunday night is for everybody that wants to come and be part of that. Just sign up so I know ahead of time how much food, okay? All right, Am I forgetting anything else? Tanner, am I forgetting anything else? All right. If you'll write that down, because I won't remember. But if you'll write it down and give it to me, that'll help me remember that. Okay, please do. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Tanner? The baby shower. The third. Summer? Summer's up there, all right? They're doing a baby shower on October the 3rd. Melissa got it, okay.
Your gift off. If you are not allowed, they're going to do it at Oak Grove Baptist Church, and that's where the drive-thru is going to be. If you're not able to go, then you may drop off something here. There's also going to be a diaper and wipe pounding for them out here in the foyer, so you can also drop off stuff here for them if you're not able to go.
Okay. Amen. Amen. We're filling this place up with babies now. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. I look forward to when we can open the nursery up again. Look forward to that. All right, anything else, Tanner, if I'm forgetting? Okay. Hey, folks, God loves you. I hope you never get tired of hearing that. He loves you. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's all stand together, be dismissed in prayer. Guests, thank you for being here today. Church members, thank you for being here today. And Brother Danny, I guess it's okay for you to be here today. Well, I love Danny Childers. Good friend, good friend. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Charles, would you pray for us this morning, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word this morning. We just thank you, Father, for your love for us and knowing whatever circumstances we go through, Father, you do not change. You're the same today, you're the same yesterday, you're the same tomorrow. We thank you for that word. We're with us now as we go to our home. Bless this day. Help us, Father, that we never forget that there's a mission field outside these doors.